I've been reading this fascinating paper by Tanguy Piggott, and something really jumped out at me, this idea of Olympic events where athletes from, rival countries, they're not competing against each other, they're actually on the same team.
Right. It completely flips the usual script, doesn't it?
Totally. It
Yeah.
makes you wonder, what if the Olympics were less about, say, national flags and anthems and more about genuine global connection? So that's what we're diving into today. We're exploring the fascinating story and the sort of curious end of these multinational team events at the Youth Olympic Games.
Yeah, our mission really is to figure out how these events tried to reshape the whole idea of Olympism, why they sparked so much excitement, and, well, also quite a bit of debate. And ultimately, why did they just vanish? Think of it as looking at a really bold experiment in universalism that didn't quite stick.
Okay, right. Let's get into that. So this pretty radical concept, the multinational teams, it was floated confidentially first back in 2007.
That's right. Kept quiet initially.
And then it properly launched at the very first Youth Olympic Games in Singapore, 2010. So it's really like a test lab from the start.
Exactly. A laboratory for Olympic innovation. And here's where it gets really interesting. The core concept was, well, it was pretty revolutionary. You have athletes from completely different National Olympic Committees, NOCs, competing together on one team.
Wow. So no national flags during the event, no anthems on the podium.
Nope. Just the Olympic flag, the Olympic anthem. The whole point was explicitly to foster unity, fraternity. Can you imagine the buzz? Like in 2010, you had Italian and a Russian fencers winning the first ever multinational gold together. That's quite a statement.
That really is powerful. So what does that actually mean for the Olympic ideal, that spirit we always talk about? Does having mixed teams change how we see it?
I think it has to, right? These events gave young athletes this incredible chance to kind of step outside the usual political lines, the cultural divides. It was about nurturing this truly universal vision of Olympism. That sounds almost, well, idealistic, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And reading the paper, it seems like it had a real impact, particularly for some of the smaller countries involved.
Oh, definitely. That's one of the most fascinating parts. These events really did level the playing field. For a lot of smaller NOCs, this was their moment, their chance. Since 2010, get this, 23 different NOCs won their first ever Olympic medal, any color, or even their first gold, specifically in these mixed events.
23, that's huge.
It is. Think about Mongolia. Their first Winter Olympic medal ever came from a mixed short track team, or Mexico. First winter medal, period, in 3x3 ice hockey with a mixed team for those kids, those countries. That's massive. It really speaks to the IOC goal of Olympic solidarity, giving everyone a shot.
That's a really compelling success story. But despite that and the growing participation, there was still resistance, maybe from the bigger players.
There was, yeah, significant resistance, actually. And even from within the IOC structure itself. Jacques Roche, who actually founded the Youth Olympic Games, he voiced doubts quite early. He said something like he didn't believe in continental teams, fearing they'd create too much imbalance.
Interesting. So the founder himself had reservations. And what about the media? How did they cover this, especially national media back home? Did they celebrate these unique wins?
Well, that's a key part of the puzzle. The reaction was muted. Piggott notes the French national media, for example, showed very discreet interest, just wasn't a big story. And crucially, medals won in these mixed events. They were officially credited to the Olympic movement itself, not to any specific country.
Ah, so the NOCs didn't get that recognition, that spot in the medal table that they usually crave.
Exactly, which, takes away a major incentive and makes the achievements kind of invisible on the national level.
And it sounds like the athletes themselves sometimes didn't view these events with the same intensity. Like they were seen as less serious.
Yeah, there's evidence for that. We have quotes like from Tanguy Citron, an athlete who said, "We played against peers where you could tell they weren't really into the concept." Another athlete, Jolyn Florimond, basically called it just another competition that ultimately doesn't really impact your personal career. A lot of them seem to see it as, for fun or a chance to unwind a bit and meet people.
So this perception being unofficial, maybe second rate, that really hurt them in the long run.
It seems so. You connect the dots. This feeling of being less serious, the lack of national media hype, the official crediting to the Olympic movement rather than nations, even Roger's initial doubts, it all sort of built up. And despite the clear benefits for unity and for smaller nations, they were suddenly stopped mid-2020s. gone.
And the official reasons given?
Things like being complicated from a sporty standpoint, you know, language barriers, team strategy issues, and maybe not always favorable to performance.
Yeah.
Which hints at that tension again. Is it about unity or pure high performance?
Right. And that lack of official recognition went deep, didn't it? The French records apparently just ignored these medals entirely.
Yeah, the paper mentions that official French Olympic records only listed results from the main Olympic Games, effectively treating the YOG mixed events like, well, playful competitions, not real pathways to an Olympic career.
So, wrapping this up, we had this really bold experiment, denationalized Olympism, pushing unity, giving smaller nations a platform, but it ran into headwinds, internal skepticism, lack of media buy-in, maybe even athlete perception issues, and ultimately it just faded out.
Exactly. And their removal in favor of bringing back more traditional national team events, it does suggest, as the paper puts it, a kind of resurgence of sporting nationalism.
Mm-hmm.
It really puts a question mark over those universal ideals the mixed events tried to embody.
So here's something for you to think about after this deep dive. In a world that often talks about needing more connection, more cooperation, what does the brief life of these multinational Olympic teams tell us? What does it say about that constant pull between national pride and competition and this idea of maybe a more universal human connection? What do you think gets lost when unique experiments like this disappear?